Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's great to have you with us today on The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Shoaib Ahmed arrived at the Texas border in the spring of 2016. He's 24 years old. He was traveling from Bangladesh, where he says he fled because of fear of political persecution. Ahmed made his way through Bolivia and to the United States border, and there he asked for asylum. And ever since, he's been detained in Lumpkin, Georgia, at the Stewart Detention Facility, run by a private corporation on behalf of ICE, called CoreCivic. Now, Ahmed says that in November, he was put into solitary confinement for 10 days because a guard overheard him say that he wouldn't work in the facility's kitchen the following day. Ahmed says he was punished for refusing to do what's supposed to be voluntary work. His story is just one of a growing number from across the country, though. Detainees, potentially thousands of them, alleging that they've been exploited with meager wages while private companies profit. Some of them have sued. Spencer Woodman is a reporter for the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists, and he wrote about the cases for The Intercept.
ICE detainees at privately run facilities across the country say that they were forced to work. ICE says its work program is voluntary, and legally it does need to be voluntary. I mean, the 13th Amendment outlaws slavery and involuntary servitude, and there is a carve-out there for people in prison who have been convicted of crimes and are being punished. But that's a different story. I mean, that exemption does not apply to ICE detainees who are detained civilly simply because they've committed civil infraction of being in the country without papers.
And just to make sure that the details are clear, if this is voluntary labor under the law, it doesn't sound so voluntary if, as Mr. Ahmed says anyway, you can land in solitary for refusing to do it.
That's right. And in Mr. Ahmed's case, there have been at this one detention center, which is called the Stewart Detention Center in rural Georgia. It's run by, of course, CoreCivic, which is formerly known as Corrections Corporation of America. And for the past several years, there have been kind of successive allegations by detainees that they were forced to work under the threat of solitary confinement. In October, I wrote a story about the same facility where ICE's own records state that they placed a detainee in disciplinary solitary confinement for 30 days for, quote, encouraging others to participate in a work stoppage.
Spencer, it's a little confusing because I'm not clear at all on what rights Mr. Ahmed and people like him have while being detained in immigration facilities. They're not American citizens, obviously. But does he have an Eighth Amendment protection against cruel and unusual punishment? Would that apply here?
I'm not sure the Eighth Amendment would apply because he is not being punished. What's certain is that he cannot be forced to work. Another question in these lawsuits that have been filed in California, Colorado, and Washington State against ICE's private detention contractors is the contention that they're being illegally paid below minimum wage. Again, in a prison setting where somebody is being punished for a crime, that's a different story. The courts and the legislature have found that that's legal. It's much murkier in a civil detention setting. Interestingly, I mean, the Geo Group, which is one of CoreCivic's major competitors, it's another very large publicly traded private prison firm, has, in responding to one of these suits in Colorado, said very bluntly that its business model relies on this kind of dirt cheap detainee labor. It said that, you know, it, quote, would have a catastrophic impact on Geo Group's ability to fulfill government contracts if it had to pay its detainees minimum wage.
Now, Geo Group and CoreCivic push back on the whole idea of solitary confinement, or at least the term. What do they say?
Right. So, I mean, every time I write one of these stories, I get into this kind of argument with both ICE and CoreCivic, where, you know, there has been an effort to rebrand solitary confinement. They prefer the kind of less harsh terminology of restrictive housing or segregation. I mean, it's always interesting to kind of get into these little disputes over terminology and then talk to the detainees. In Mr. Ahmed's case, you know, he described the highly restrictive and isolating conditions of solitary confinement. His cell was locked, he said, for approximately 23 hours a day. When it was locked, he said he couldn't talk and have anyone hear him. The only chance he had was to shout out, to raise his voice. And he said this was an infraction that would cause him to be punished again and placed into solitary confinement or have his stay in solitary confinement prolonged. And, you know, he at one point said that he, fearing his psychological well-being, wanted to shout out and say, please bring me out. Please let me speak with someone. Please bring me to some open site. So the private prison contractors that I speak with urge me not to use the term solitary confinement and its harsh connotations that it brings with it. The detainees that I and other reporters have spoken with describe a form of isolating and restrictive housing that would meet what the public widely understands as solitary confinement.
Spencer Woodman, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Spencer Woodman is a reporter for the Pulitzer Prize-winning International Consortium of Investigative Journalists.